Let's just commit our time to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today very conscious of our need of Thee. We come, Lord, to worship Thee, and Lord, we need Thy help to do so. And Lord, we pray that You'll be pleased to come amongst us and upon us, Lord, right from the very outset of this time together. May we know Thy presence, may we feel and know that God is amongst us today. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that this day we might know that God is here and that to bless us. Bless our coming together. Bless, Lord, as we sing Thy praise, as we read Thy word, and Lord, as we consider it today, may Thy name and Thy name alone be glorified. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Our opening item of praise is the paraphrase number 2. The words will be on your screen. O God of Bethel, by whose hand Thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. The paraphrase number 2, and we will keep our seats as we sing this opening paraphrase, please. Well, let's come again to the Lord in prayer. Let's seek His face and pray for His blessing upon our time just now. Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence once again this morning through that precious, lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, how we rejoice today that we can say, O God of Bethel. Lord, we thank Thee today that Thou art our God. We thank Thee, Lord, today for each one who knows Thee as their Savior. We praise Thee, Lord, today that we can look to Thee, we can cry upon Thee. And Lord, we do so, O God, today because we need Thee. Lord, as we come to worship Thee, we ask, O God, for Thy help in a very real and in a very particular way. Lord, we thank Thee for Your mercy and for Your goodness that finds us in the house of God this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for the health and the strength that You've given to us to be here. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, lift our hearts in praise to Thee. For Lord, we realize that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are gathered. And we can assemble ourselves in the house of God this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we come, Lord, we pray that you remove every distracting thought. Lord, give us, Lord, that blessed time with thee. Lord, as we would look into the Word of God, come and speak to us and do our hearts good, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that we'll leave on our way rejoicing, knowing that God has met with us. Come and speak to all of our hearts this morning, we pray. Lord, you know the need in every heart. You know the need in every life. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in Christ there is that corresponding fullness to meet all of our need. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us. Lord, we pray you'll speak to them. Remember those who are unwell at this time. Lord, minister to them. And Lord, touch them at the point of their need, we pray. Remember, Lord, any who may be sorrowing. Lord, we pray that you'll walk with them. And Lord, may they know the grace of God being sufficient at this time, we pray. Lord, bless our coming together. Bless the word that has already gone forth to the boys and girls in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. Lord, speak on, O God, we pray. Bless the word that will go forth in Hollywood this afternoon. Lord, bless in the meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray that in everything may thy name be glorified and honored. So hear and answer prayer. Meet with us, O God, we pray today. Bless, Lord, those today across our land and across our nation who are serving thee. We ask, O God, that you will bless every sister congregation of the Free Church. Lord, we ask, O God, for all those who are faithful to the blood and to the book. Remember, Lord, those who are laboring in the mainland today. We pray for those in Scotland and England and Wales. Encourage them. Remember, Lord, those down south, Lord, who are seeking to advance the cause of Christ there. Pray, Lord, for our brother Philip and Valentina there in Lewis today. Encourage them. And Lord, may they know the help of heaven. And Lord, may they know, Lord, the hand of the Lord even being made bare there in that town and in that area. Oh, Heavenly Father, we look to thee. We thank the Lord that thou art the Lord of thy church. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be pleased to come. And Lord, minister to us all today. Remember the missionaries. Pray, Lord, for those who are being persecuted for their faith, who do not have the liberties as we have. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that you be near to them and encourage them and help them in their walk with thee. So do us good. Be with us. Help us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Genesis, and to the chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, we want to continue this morning looking at that subject of God using broken things. We started it a few weeks ago and we want by the help of God to continue looking at it today. We want to look at the subject of the broken bone. Now, I know that's a touchy subject in this congregation because it's maybe a wee bit more like Sandown Fracture Clinic than anything else, but I hope that what we have to say today will be of help and benefit to us. But let's read together from Genesis 32 and the verse 22. We read here the account of Jacob, and he is here at Penuel. And so let's read as he makes his way back to meet Esau. Let's read the Word of God together, Genesis chapter 32 and the verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the field Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. At this stage, let me bid you all a very warm and sincere word of welcome along to our morning worship service today. We're glad to see you, and we welcome you all in God's house today. We're glad to see those who are back with us for the first time. We welcome you warmly, and we are delighted to see you in God's house. And we pray the Lord will bless us all as we meet in the house of the Lord today. This is the second Lord's Day of the month, so that means it's Missionary Council retiring offering Sunday, so please do remember that as you leave after both services, the box there in the hallway, and all the money in that box will go to support the work of the Missionary Council. 2:30 this afternoon, the Hollywood Sunday School, and then we have our family and friends night service tonight at 6:30, and we're looking forward to this, having our brother Pastor Trevor Galanders along with us this evening to testify. I know you will be blessed, encouraged, and challenged by his testimony as he comes to tell us of the Lord's leading in his life and how the Lord saved him, even in the midst of an awful, dark situation. And the Lord was merciful to him, reached down and saved him, and how he's using him to this day. So we're looking forward to having him with us this evening. We trust you'll join with us, and if you can, bring others with you to the family service tonight at 6:30. Tuesday, we will have a session meeting. Our elders will meet at 7:45, and then our deacons will meet and join in at 8:15. That is on Tuesday coming. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. And this Thursday evening, we hope in the will of the Lord to start a short study on the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 is familiar, probably the one of the most familiar of all the Psalms, if not all the chapters in the Bible. But we want to look at Psalm 23 over the next number of weeks. And so we'll commence that study this Thursday evening. Friday night, that will be our final youth fellowship here in the church at 8 o'clock. And we encourage all our young people, come, plan to be with us for that final youth fellowship on Friday night at 8. And Kyle will be speaking on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, we have our Sunday School Bible class 10:15, morning worship 11:30, 2:30 the Hollywood Sunday School, and 6:30 is our gospel service. I'll be here to preach in the will of the Lord, and next Sunday evening, Raymond and Mark Williamson will be back with us to play for us the piano and the accordion. We're looking forward to having them back with us next Sunday evening, God willing. Thank you for your giving to our brother Noel Shields on Thursday night past. That offering came to £349. And if you were not able to get and you want to support our brother Noel financially, then please do see either William or Richard and they can sort that out for you. Want to let you know of some plans that we have for the end of this month in the will of the Lord. And that is by way of a gospel mission, a short gospel mission, albeit from Thursday the 27th of May until the Lord's Day the 30th of May. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Friday night at 8 o'clock, and then the two services on the Lord's Day the 30th of May. On the Thursday night, Pastor Dennis Lyle will be the preacher. On the Friday night at 8 o'clock the 28th, our brother John Weir will be here to testify. And then on Sunday the 30th of May, the Reverend William McRae will be the speaker at both of those services, and he will also be singing for us. So we're looking forward to this. It's been well over a year now since we've been able to have any sort of gospel outreach. And we're looking forward to having this short gospel mission. We want you to get behind it. We want you to support it. I want you to plan to be here. And I would ask you very specifically now that the Lord would burden your heart for someone that you can invite along to these meetings. There's only four meetings, and they will be over in a flash. And so you pray the Lord would burden your heart for someone that you can ask along to these special gospel meetings at the end of this month. Now, there'll be some work that we need to do in preparation for that. We're going to have special times of prayer via Zoom two Tuesday nights, the 18th and the 25th of May. And then on Friday, the 21st of May, that's the Friday night before the gospel meetings commence, we're going to have outreach and we're going to get around this area. It'll only be by way of a leaflet drop. We're not knocking doors.
but we're getting leaflets and invitations printed, and we need as many to help us. That's Friday the 21st, meeting in the church here around quarter to seven on that night. So please bear all these matters in mind, keep them in prayer, and plan to support them, please. Do continue to remember those who are unwell in the congregation. We'd ask you to remember our brother Jim's, brother Jim Armstrong's brother, who is not too well at the moment. Remember Jim's brother in your prayers, please. Do continue to remember Isabel and Stephen, Harry and Martin and Gemma. Pray for all these who need our prayers at this time. Also, Valerie Johnson, as we said on Thursday night past, has been through her operation, and that has gone much better than was expected. And the family are very thankful for your prayers for Valerie. Pray for her quick recovery back to full health once again. It's been a difficult time. Philip Bowles' grandfather passed away on Friday. He's been buried today, so it's been a hard time for the family. But I know they appreciate your prayers, as all who are unwell certainly appreciate the prayers of God's people. There are no offerings being lifted, but you can place your offerings in the boxes as you leave. I think these are all by way of announcements. We're going to turn back to Genesis chapter 32, please. Genesis chapter 32. We're going to consider most of this passage together, but if we were to take a text, it would be the words, the last half of verse 26, where Jacob says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Just to change your position, can I ask you, if you're able, to stand with me for a word of prayer? If you're not able, don't worry. We'll stand if you can for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for the privilege that is ours once again to come before Thee and to address Thee as our Father. We come, Lord, to Thee in all of our great need. Come, O God, and speak to us. May Thy word dwell in us today. Speak, O God, we pray, far beyond the voice of any man. May we hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, do our hearts good. Help us to hear and help us to preach. And Lord, we pray that through it all may Thy name be honored and glorified. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I forgot to welcome those who are watching online this morning as well. To you, we welcome you as well. I'm sure that anyone who has ever had the misfortune of having one of your bones in your body broken, you would never see it as something as a blessing. You would never see it as something to welcome. The pain, the discomfort would be such that it would be hard to find any way whereby a broken bone would be a good thing. And a broken bone would be seen as nothing, as a problem and a pain to overcome. Yet in this account of Jacob, while the actual thigh bone may not have been literally broken, although it may have been, we're not sure, it certainly was dislocated, it was put out of joint, and it was a very painful experience. Yet as we'll see today, this broken bone, this painful experience turned out to be a defining moment in the life of Jacob. Here's a man who has been on the run now for some time, running from his family and running from God. For a long time now, Jacob had lived in his own strength. For a long time now, Jacob did what he wanted to do, and nobody was going to tell him how to live his life. But God had to break him. And God had to bring him to a low point in his life in order to use him and in order to bless him. You see, Genesis chapter 32 records for us another one of those landmark days in the life of Jacob. The greatest of those was found in Genesis 28 when at Bethel, Jacob found the Lord as his Savior. In Genesis 28, Bethel was the place of his conversion. But now, after a time of wandering, we come to Genesis 32, and now this is the time of his restoration. At Bethel, he became a believing man, but now at the brook called Jabbok, he was a broken man. At Bethel, he went away with a spring in his step, but now at Jabbok, he went away with a limp. At Bethel, he died to sin. But it is at Jabbok here, as we find it in Genesis 32, that he died to self. At Jabbok, Jacob was broken. He had that night that he will never forget. He had wandered from God. He had tried to live for God in his own strength for all of these years. Yet the Lord had to bring him, had to break him before he could use him. You know how often is that in our Christian life and in our Christian experience? The Lord has to bring us to such a low point and has to break us before he can use us. Maybe today in your relationship with God, it's not as it once was. It's not as it should be. And the Lord is going to have to break us in order to make us useful in his service once again. You see, God was taking a dealing with Jacob there in the darkness and there in the stillness. God met with him. God changed him. And God used this broken bone in order to bring Jacob to a place of usefulness for him. I want us to notice some things about this account. I want you to see, first of all, here the place that was selected. The place that was selected. In verse number 24, we read of a place that God selected in order to make this change in his life. It is over from the brook Jabbok that we read about in Genesis 22 and 23. But there are some very specifics about this place that I want us to notice. I want you to see that this place was a place of isolation. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. There was isolation. Jacob was on his way back to meet his brother Esau in order to make reconciliation with him. And he tries to appease Esau by getting on side with him by the use of large gifts. That's recorded for us in the earlier part of Genesis 32. And for this time, he sends his family, his servants on over. But for this time, Jacob is left alone. And Jacob now has nothing. In that place of isolation, he has nothing. His wealth, his fortune, his family, his servants, they've all gone on before him. But now Jacob is left with nothing. You see, God had to bring Jacob to that point in his life where those things he relied on, those things he depended upon, those things that he thought he needed, those things that he thought were important, God had to remove them. God had to take them from him. God had to do that in order to use this man. All those man-made distractions that Jacob was using in his life, he was now removed of all of those, and now, for the first time in a very long time, he had nothing. He was alone. He's at the end of his resources. He's brought into that place where it's just him and God. He's nowhere now to turn. He's no one to turn to. There's no distractions. There's no leaning now on those props. He was just alone. It was just between him and God. And folks, that's where things will happen in our life. That's where we'll really do business with God, when we are alone with Him, everything else removed. For this time, Jacob forgot all about those other preoccupations that had overtaken his life, overcome his life. Those things that had come in and crowded out God in his life. Jacob, you will know, I'm sure, was a twister, a supplanter. He tried to arrange everything his way. He wanted to do everything his way. He wanted to live his life his way. But God had to bring him to this place where God showed him, it's my way. And in order to do that, Jacob had to be removed from everything. Do you know, in this busy world, things can so easily crowd in upon us. There are things which are legitimate, proper, of themselves, not sinful, but they can come between us and God, and that's when they become sinful. Someone has said that solitude is the audience chamber of God. And you see, there is nothing more needful in the life of the believer to be alone with God. Were you alone with Him today? Remove all other distractions and be alone with Him. It was a place of isolation. Not only is it a place of isolation, it's also a place of intervention. Jacob was alone, but he wasn't alone. Because look what verse 24 says, "And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now over in the little book of Hosea, little prophecy of Hosea chapter 12 and the verse 4, we have the spiritual commentary on this account, and the Holy Spirit brings us to this account in Jabbok, Genesis 32, and he speaks about it in Hosea 12 and the verse 4. And we see who this man was. In Hosea chapter 12 and the verse 3, it says, "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." So this man, this individual that we read of in Genesis 32 and the verse 24 is, according to Scripture, the Lord. He's not wrestling with another mortal. He's wrestling with the Lord. This is one of those occurrences in Scripture where the Lord comes, He appears to Jacob, He's appeared to other individuals before He fully appears in the flesh in Bethlehem. But the Lord meets with him. And the Lord intervenes in his life. He tells us in verse 30, "I have seen God face to face." This was just not a meeting with some man or some individual. This was a meeting with God. This was an intervention that this man had with the Lord. This was a divine intervention in this man's life. We see it is also a place of intimacy. It says, "There wrestled a man." There wrestled. This wasn't some quiet time. This was a wrestling time. And the Lord wrestled with Jacob and not the other way around. You see, the Lord had to break Jacob in order to bless him. He had to cripple him in order to crown him. He had to wrestle with Jacob in order to win him. And God had to use this in order to bring Jacob to that place he wanted to be. He had to bring Jacob to a sore place, a painful place, in order for Jacob to surrender his life back to the Lord. And the Lord was going to use this intervention as a means of bringing Jacob back to that place where he should have been with the Lord. We read in Hosea 12 and verse 4, speaking of this very account, that Jacob wept. He wept. As that wrestling match took place, Jacob realized how wrong he had been. Jacob, for the first time in many a long year, realized, I've been living for God in my own strength. I've been doing this my way. And now he is brought to a place of brokenness, brought to a place of sorrow, and he weeps over the sins of his past, the sins of failure. He thought he was strong enough. But now he is no match for the Lord. This was the place that God selected. It was a place of intimacy. It was a place of intervention. It was a place of isolation. Dear believer, that is the place we need to get to with the Lord. Alone with Him. That's when we will all do business with God, when there is no one else but us and Him. The place that was selected. But I want you to see something more here about this account. The pride that was eliminated. The pride that was eliminated. If you know anything about the life of Jacob, you will know that he was a very proud man. A man full of self-esteem. Man full of pride. If you know anything about the Scriptures, you will know God hates pride. Hates pride. God was going to humble this man. Look at verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That's Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Here's the turning point now. This whole matter of this wrestling takes on a new aspect. Jacob was crippled. Jacob was changed. This touch changed Jacob's life. The word touch there in verse 25, it actually means a very gentle touch. A gentle touch. And the gentle touch of the Lord in this man's life made such a change. Jacob was transformed because his thigh was put out of joint. The Lord, in a very gracious and a tender way, touched him, changed his life. And dear believer, today, is that not what we need? Do we not need the Lord to touch us? Do we not need a touch from the Lord? We need the Lord to work in our lives. We need the Lord to deal with those matters in our lives that need to be put right. It was the matter of pride and arrogance in the life of Jacob. And the Lord touched him. The Lord only had to touch him with a gentle touch. His life was changed. He touched the hollow of his thigh. Why there? Why that particular bone? Well, I'm told, and I can assure you I have no experience of wrestling whatsoever, but if you want to inflict an injury on your opponent in a wrestling match, you touch them there on their thigh. That's their strongest point, apparently. What does it mean here for Jacob?
It was the point of the strength of the flesh. It was that point where Jacob thought he was strong. It was that point where Jacob felt he could live for God the way he wanted to live, in the power of his own flesh. But the Lord had to touch them there at his strongest point, and at his strongest point, he was made weak. And often God has to touch us at that strongest point in our lives in order to weaken us, in order to bring us to that place where we realize our strength is of him. Jacob's pride took a tumble. Jacob's self-belief took a tumble. Something died within Jacob that day, because Jacob died to self. Jacob died to his self-reliance. Jacob died to his self-confidence. Jacob was humbled under the mighty touch of God. And you see, Jacob had to come to that point where he realized he was no match for God. He had to come to that point where he realized the Lord had to take a dealing with his life. At that point, the Lord touched him. Do we not need the touch from the Lord today? That gentle touch in order to humble us. We can become so filled up with our own self-importance. We can become so full of pride, and yet the Lord often has to touch us at that point. The pride that was eliminated, the place that was selected. But I want you to see as well here the plea that was communicated. Look at verse 26. You see, this broken hip joint made Jacob plead with the Lord like never he had pleaded with the Lord before. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, that is Jacob, said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Think of it. What's happening here? Here's a man who realizes his strength is gone, and he is clinging to the Lord because he realizes the strength that he needs only comes from the Lord. He's clinging. Look at verse 26. The Lord has to say to him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Why does he have to say that? Because Jacob is now clinging to the Lord. Because he has no strength of his own. "Let me go, Jacob." Oh, Jacob was so weakened, so crippled, that it brought Jacob to that point where he clung to the Lord like never before. What's he doing? He's realizing now, for the first time in a long time, my strength is in the Lord. He had tried to live the Christian life in his own strength all of this time, but now he realizes that he can only live for the Lord in the strength of the Lord. Jacob is brought to that point that the Lord wants every one of his children to get to, that place of absolute confidence and dependence, not in the flesh, not in ourselves, but in him. Isn't it so easy to put around ourselves these props, these things that help us, as we think? Sometimes the Lord has to remove those all and bring us to that point where we realize our strength is only of him. If we're going to do anything from God, it is going to be by faith, trusting, resting, clinging to the Lord. And notice what he says. Notice this plea in verse 26, the end of it. "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me."
I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Think of it. Jacob, the strong man. And yet he realizes now he needs the blessing of God. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob had to be emptied for the Lord to use him. There is the admission in this plea. I will not let thee go. Oh, may the Lord bring us to that place today when we, as we live for the Lord, we see we've got nothing but Him. And we need nothing but Him. Notice as well the confession in this plea. Verse 27. And the Lord asks him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob, as I've said, it means a supplanter, it means a cheater, it means a twister, it means a deceiver. What's Jacob saying here? What's the Lord getting at here? Jacob is admitting now, I am a twister. Jacob is admitting now, I am a deceiver. Jacob is confessing his sin to the Lord. And all of a sudden, his eyes are opened and he realizes, I am the problem. What is thy name? Do you know, it might not seem a very significant question. Of course, the Lord knew what his name was. The Lord knew Jacob's name very well. But he was asking that question in order to get Jacob to confess his need of the Lord. Do you know, it's not the first time Jacob was asked that question. Turn back, if you will, to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. And here we have the account of the deception of his father Isaac. And Isaac is old in years, his sight is gone. And he wishes to give the birthright to his eldest. Look at verse 18, Genesis 27, verse 18. And he, that is Jacob, came unto his father Isaac and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He was asked his name, but he deceived his father. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. He lied, he deceived his father. But when we come into Genesis 32, Jacob realized that when he's asked this question again, what is thy name? He can't deceive God. He can't try to pull the wool over the eyes of Almighty God. He did it and did it successfully, yet sadly for his father. And took the birthright away from Esau, which was rightfully Esau's. But now he realizes, I can't deceive God. He wanted the birthright. He wanted the blessing of his earthly father. He got it on the basis of deception. But now he wants the blessing of his heavenly father, and that will never be got on the basis of deception, but rather of honesty. And in Genesis 32, in the verse 27, when he says, Jacob, he is saying, yes, I am the twister, I am the supplanter, I am the deceiver, but Lord, bless me. Then there's the alteration because of this plea. Back in Genesis 32, verse 28. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. It's a new day, and this man gets a new name. Israel. It means a prince with God. It means a man who's controlled by God. No longer Jacob controlled by himself. He's got a new name. He's got a new power. Look at verse 28 again. Hast power with God and with men. Notice the sequence. He has power now with God. And because of that, he has power with man. That's always the way it is. You or I will never have power with men if, first of all, we don't have power with God. You and I will never have any witness or blessing in this world if, first of all, our walk and our relationship with God is right. Thou hast power with God and with men. He's crowned with a new name. He's crowned with a new power. He's crowned with a new vision. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Nobody who has a meeting with the Lord will ever be left the same. He's got a fresh view of the Lord. It's at this place, Peniel. It's the same place that is referred to in Genesis 31 as Penuel. Same place, just a slightly different Hebrew wording. But it means the same thing. And it means face to face with God. At that place, Penuel, Jacob met God face to face. He had a new name, new desire, new vision. But as we close, notice that he had a new walk. At the end of verse 31, he halted upon his thigh. Everybody knew that Jacob was a changed man now. Because as he left Penuel that day, he was a changed man. Because people saw it. He had a new walk. This was a new day with new prospects. A new day with new hope, a new day with new ambitions, and a new day for new priorities for Jacob, because now, as a result of this divine intervention, Jacob is a God-filled man, a God-controlled man. Oh, there was pain. There was pain. There was struggle. But it resulted in blessing. From that day on, Jacob went on in the strength of the Lord. From that day on, Jacob's walk with God was different. It was never the same. If you will, for a moment, glance your eyes down to chapter 33. Remember, Jacob is on his way back to reconcile his relationship with his brother, with Esau. And he tries to get Esau on side by offering him all these camels and all that in Genesis 32. But notice something very important as he comes to meet Esau. Genesis 33 in the verse number 4. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Remember, this is the man who's been cheated out, deceived out of his birthright. This is Esau greeting his brother who has taken his birthright from him. But now Esau runs to meet him, embraces him, kisses him, and they wept. What does that mean? It means whenever we put things right with God, our relationships with others will be put right as well. He put his relationship with God right, and he feared meeting Esau. But when his walk with God was right, his walk with others was right as well.
Jacob was now useful. Oh, it was a hard, tough lesson. But Jacob had to be brought to that point where he was sold out for the Lord. And now his life has changed. And now his walk with God has changed. Everybody knew it. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew Jacob is now a changed man. That broken bone, that broken hip joint, was used of God in order to bless Jacob. Bless him in his relationship with his family. Bless him in his relationship with others. But most of all, bless him in his relationship to God. It was a painful, hard experience for him. But he never would have been the same without it. And from that moment on, Jacob's life was different. Jacob's life was changed. God broke him in order to bless him. May we be pleased in the words of the little chorus to say, let the Lord have his way in my life every day. And folks, yes, that may involve pain. May involve some sort of difficulty. But whatever it may be, it will be worth it. As our walk with God and our relationship with God is changed as a result. That broken bone was used of God to bring blessing into the life of not only Jacob, but the life of all the others around him as well. Put things right with God, and the Lord will see to it that things are put right with others.